Today's daf is my cousin Daf Zayin. We left off at the Mishnah on Daf Vav Amid Beis, about two-thirds of the way down the page on Daf Vav Amid Beis. That Mishnah is going to talk about two different halachas. It's going to talk about trapping rodents and various pests in fields on Chol HaMoed, and it's also going to talk about rebuilding fences on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara that follows is going to discuss those two issues. We're going to talk about what's considered Seida Kedarko versus Seida Shalo Kedarko. We're going to talk about building fences in different places, in a Gina, in a Chatzer, when you're allowed to build a fence, when you're not allowed to build a fence. Then the second Mishnah we're going to have today is the Mishnah on the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph. It's going to talk about when we're allowed to look at Negaim, when a Kohen is allowed to paskin on a Neged Sara'as when it comes to Chol HaMoed, meaning on the one hand, the looking at the Neged Sara'as is a requirement that the Kohen has, but he has to paskin on it. On the other hand, it could really ruin person's Simchas Yamtov. If you're going to tell him that he has Sara'as, it could be really problematic. But there are different stages in Tumas Sara'as where maybe it's not going to ruin his Simchas Yamtov so much, depending on where he's holding already. If he already has a certain level of Tumah, it may or may not ruin his Simchas Yamtov so much. So we're going to have a Machlokas Tanaim in the Mishnah, then a Machlokas exactly how we paskin in that Machlokas Tanaim, and even what the circumstances of that Machlokas Tanaim are in terms of when we look at Neged Sara'as when we don't. And in that context, the Gemara is going to discuss various halachos of Sara'as during Mitzora's Yemei Chaluto, when he has Vaday Tumah, when he's definitely in Mitzora. Is he permitted B'tashma Shamita, or is he not permitted B'tashma Shamita? Is the Tumah of the Mitzora really 100% Talui B'yad HaKohen? Is it 100% up to the Kohen, that if the Kohen does not declare him Tameh, then he's automatically not Tameh, and it's only the word of the Kohen itself that's Metameim? So we're going to discuss these Sara'as-related topics because of that Mishnah that talks about whether we're allowed to paskin on Sara'as when a person is a Mitzvah. But let's begin with the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis, again toward the bottom of the page. Tzadin ase isha sasach barim misteya ilan umisteya lovin kedarko b'moed ubishvias. Very broad heter. We're allowed to trap different types of rodents and pests, both from a field of trees and from a field of grain. In the normal way, we're allowed to trap them in a regular way, both on Chol HaMoed and during the Shemitah year. V'chacham amrim misteya ilan kedarko umisteya lovin shalo kedarko. That was the Tanakama, but the Chum disagree. They say, no, you're only allowed to trap it the normal way when it's a steya ilan. A steya lovin, you have to trap it in an abnormal way because apparently they're not as damaging to a steya lovin as they are to a steya ilan. So since they're very damaging to a steya ilan, it's going to be a big hefsid, so you could do the melacha in the normal way. But a steya lovin, they're not so damaging, you have to do it shalo kedarko. Umakrinus appeared to be moed. If the fence is broken, you're allowed to fix a broken fence on Chol HaMoed. Ubishvi is bona kedarko. And in Shemitah, not only are you allowed to repair a broken fence, but you're allowed to build a fence, you're allowed to build a brand new fence during the Shemitah year around your property. Now Tosfos points out sudden asishus b'moed ubishvis on the first halach on the Mishnah that we said that you're allowed to trap the pests on Moed and on Shemitah year. Tema, my kamash melun b'shvius. What's the chiddush that you're allowed to trap pests during Shemitah? V'alo einzu avodus karka, v'rabi yudu my time adasar kedarko. It's not avodus karka at all, and it's even a bigger kasha on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that he says you're not even allowed to do it kedarko. You can only do it shalo kedarko. Well, why not? Why can't you do it kedarko? It's not avodus karka. I understand Chol HaMoed, the isser is malacha. It has nothing to do with karka. It's just a matter of malacha. So tzei does a malacha. But when we're dealing with shvius, it's not about malacha, it's about avodus karka. How is trapping an animal at all avodus karka? So says Tosfos Yeshlomer Devade Tzarich L'Miskal Avana Mitoch Sedeu Kishamafane Ishul. So Tzarim Paragimul Deshvius Hamasakal Sedeu Notel Yomus Maniach Tachtonos Anogos Baaretz V'Chaim Gargush Al Tzoros Ishul Mufurish Bishalmi Chulda. So he says, first of all, Ishul is a type of chulda. You should know what it is. But he says that when we remove this animal, it's also going to involve removing stones from the field, and removing stones from the field is considered to be an improvement on the field. The sheet of the Talmud Harimi Pariz explains that removing the Ishus itself is like siluk avanim. It's not that you're going to also do siluk avanim, but by taking that which is mazik the field away, that's the same tikkun lekarka that siluk avanim is a tikkun lekarka. It's taking away something that's damaging to the field. So that's why it would be asr. It's not exactly like Tosos, a little bit different than Tosos, but the same idea that it's considered to be on some level siluk avanim, whether it leads to siluk avanim or it itself is considered like you're being misalik the avanim. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My ishus, what is this animal that we're referring to?" Amar Rav Yehuda, "Bar yashein la'einayim." It's a creature that doesn't have any eyes. Amar Rav Bar Yishmael, "Vitim Ravim Bar Shlamya Maikra." Where do we have a pasuk that indicates that this is a type of creature that doesn't have any eyes? So the pasuk says, "Kimo shablul temes yaloch nefel eshes bal chazu shemesh." That just like it goes in its shell, it doesn't see the sun. This eshes bal chazu shemesh doesn't see the sun. So you see that if we're describing it as something that doesn't see daylight, it must be a creature that doesn't have any eyes. Tan Rabban, sudden as a ishes as achbar mistei alavan. So the Brisa starts with the Tanakam of our Mishnah that you're allowed to trap these different rodents and pests from your field in the normal way. But then the Brisa adds, you're also allowed to destroy ant holes. If ants are going to ruin your grain, they're going to eat up your grain, you're allowed to destroy the ant holes. Ketzad machriven, how do you destroy an ant hole? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe offer me chorzeh, v'nosim l'to chorzeh, v'nchonkin zeh ezeh. You take dirt from one hole and you put it in another hole, and then they choke each other. They're not used to this foreign dirt that's made its way into their hole, so they choke on it. They don't know their way around it, so they end up choking. This is only going to work if it's really foreign soil. It has to be that the dirt you're taking is from another side of a river from where you're bringing it. And there's no bridge that connects the two sides of the river. Forget about even a bridge. You know, you don't even have a plank of wood that goes over from one end of the river to the other end of the river that they can cross over. And not only that, you don't even have a narrower plank of wood that you would even need to hold on to a rope in order to balance yourself on it to be able to go from one end to the other. You don't have any of these things. Ad kama, and how far do these two holes have to be from each other? That if there's a river between them and there's no bridge, that they're not going to recognize the dirt. Meaning, is there a distance where even with a river between them, with no bridge, that they'll still recognize the dirt? It's still not going to be considered foreign. So Gemara says ad parsa, that up until a parsa, it's considered to be so close that even with a river and with no bridge, it would still not be considered foreign soil, and they would still be able to survive bringing dirt from somewhere far away. So it has to be at least a parsa away with the river and no bridge in order to be effective. That's how Rashi understands the ad kama ad parsa. If you look at Tosos, ad kama ad parsa, so Tosos writes, "Dein makirin zeze biyoser mi parsa afilu below nahar." That more than a parsa, they wouldn't be makir even without a river. So Tosos says different than Rashi. Tosos says that once you're beyond a parsa, even if there's no river, even if there's nothing in between, there's no break between this field and that field, between this anthole and that anthole, once you're a parsa away, it's automatically considered foreign soil. So that's different than the way Rashi understood. Inami hachi perusho kesheyesh nahar masay kriyin makirin ad parsav ubiyosim kriyin makirin v'davka dika nahar. Or it also says maybe you could say like Rashi also, but those are two possibilities of how to understand these first four words of Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, weiter in the Gemara on the top line of Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Misteha Ilan Kedarko Umisteha Lavan Shalo Kedarko. Rabbi Yehuda says that from Misteha Ilan you're allowed to trap Kedarko, you're allowed to trap in the normal way. From Misteha Lavan Shalo Kedarko, you trap in an abnormal way. So Tan Rabban, Ketzad Kedarko, what is trapping in a normal way, trapping these rodents in a normal way? Chofer Guma V'toleba Matsuda. You dig a hole in the ground and you hang a trap in that hole. So when it will go out of the hole, it will go right into the trap. Ketzad shelo kedarko. What's an abnormal way to trap these pests? No, it's shvud umaka bekardom umar dehadam umrad adam emitachtel. You take a big iron stick and you bang it with a hammer, and that's going to shake up the ground. So it'll be like a mini earthquake underground, and the dirt in underground is going to be shaking around, and that's going to suffocate them. So that way you're trapping them in an abnormal way. That's considered shelo kedarka. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the different kirsos of who exactly this is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or Rabbi Gamliel, somebody says, Kisharmu mistei lovin shelo kedarko. When we say that you're allowed to trap from a stei lovin shelo kedarko, lo amru ela b'stei lovin asmucha le'ir. That's only if it's a stei lovin that's near the city. Av b'stei lovin asmucha l'stei ilan, but if it's a stei lovin that happens to be right near a stei ilan, so we said by a stei ilan, these pests are very damaging, then I feel Kedarko. Then you're even allowed to trap Kedarko. Shami Yetsu Mistei Alavan V'Yachri V'Asilanos, because it's so close to the Stei Ilan that we're afraid that they're going to go from the Stei Lavan to the Stei Ilan. They're going to destroy all of the Ilanos in the Sadi Ilan. Umakrinis Apirza Bimoi. The last line of the Mishnah said that we're allowed to rebuild a broken fence on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. We're even allowed to build a fence anew. You don't need, it's not only about rebuilding a fence on Shemitah, you're even allowed to build a brand new fence. So Ketzad Makrin, what does it mean to repair a broken fence? Repair it how? With what? What are our limitations? So Rav Yosef Amar, Buhutza V'dafna. You're allowed to repair it with branches of a palm tree and things of that nature where they're not the strongest wall, but they're a good way to patch up a fence. B'masnisa Tana, Tsar b'tsrar ve'enotach betit. You're allowed to use rocks, pile up rocks in the pirtza where the fence is broken, but you're just not allowed to cement the rocks together. So if you have a bunch of bricks, you can pile the bricks on top of each other, but just don't cement all of the bricks or the rocks together. Amr Rav Chisla lo shanu ala kosal hagina, aval kosal hachatzer bona kedarko. This is only true, these limitations are only true if it's a kosal around your garden. But if it's a kosal around your chatzer, then you're allowed to build in the normal way. You don't have to think twice. You could build an absolutely strong fence around your chatzer. Why? Why is a chatzer something that we're going to be more makel in what you build than around a gina? So Rashi explains, because by a kosal gina, there's no big loss if people go there. As opposed to a kosel chatzer, it's a major loss if people come, because they could take all your money. You keep everything in your chatzer, in your gina. You have a few vegetables. So good, you like your vegetables, you want your vegetables, but it's not a major hefsid if people come into your gina. But if people come into your chatzer, that's where people kept all their stuff. That's where all their private things were. So it's like allowing someone to rob your house when they go into your chatzer. So you have pirtza kara leganav. You have an opening in your chatzer, it's going to scream out to Ganavim that they have the ability to come, so that you're allowed to build up properly. Muki Yosef writes, the reason is because by Kosel Chatzer, there's a Hefzer as opposed to Kosel Gina, there's no Hefzer at all. Forget about Hefzer Meruba, it's only the Tznusa Mialma. I mean, generally speaking, the Ginos were made in such a way where whatever Kosel they had around, the people could get through anyway. I guess they weren't Choshish for Ganavim by a Gina. The whole point of the Kosel Gina was just for the Tznusa Mialma. Shouldn't be an Ayin Hara that everyone's looking at how your vegetables are growing. But it wasn't really protective in any way, whereas the Kosel Chatzer was primarily a protective wall. So those two possibilities of what the issue is. Lema Masayele, and we have a raya that this is true, that when it comes to the Kosel Chatzer, you're allowed to be bona kedarko, that our limitations are only by a Kosel Gina. Because what does it say? Kosel Agoche, l'Roshos HaRabim, if you have a wall that's not very strong, and it's sort of leaning and teetering on the brink of falling down, and it's leaning toward the Rosh Hasharabim, so it could fall into the Rosh Hasharabim at any moment. So Sarabona Kedarko Mipnei Sakana. You can knock down that wall and rebuild it, because otherwise it's a Sakana. People are going to be walking by in the Rosh Hasharabim. The wall could fall on them and it could be very dangerous. So you're allowed to knock down the wall and rebuild it. So you see, this is a kosel chatzer, and we allow bona kedarko. We allow a person to build the wall normally. So this is a raya that a kosel chatzer, you're allowed to build normally. Says the Gemara, That's a raya. Hasam kidzani taima mipnei sakana. Over there, it says the reason you're allowed to rebuild it. It says specifically because otherwise it's dangerous. That's why you're allowed to rebuild it. Not because tam your kosel chatzer is important enough that you're allowed to always rebuild the kosel chatzer. V'igadarmi. In fact, the other lashon has it that this is a kasha that tashema. We bring a raya kosel agochel shusam soser bona kedarko mipnei sakana. That when the wall is threatening to fall into the Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to knock it down and rebuild it because of sakana, and we are medayek mipnei sakana in shalom mipnei sakana lo. You're only allowed to rebuild it because of the threat of sakana, but absent any threat of sakana, you're not allowed to rebuild the kosel chatzer. So this is a kashan Rav Chista. Rav Chista said a kosel chatzer, you're always allowed to be bona kedarko. So I'm lachar Rav Chista. Rav Chista might answer, hasam soser ubona. The reason you need the heter sakana is because we're saying in that case where it's going to be a concern of sakana that not only can you build it, you're even allowed to knock it down. So they're saying, yeah, you're allowed to knock it down because of sakana. But the bona, the fact that you're allowed to rebuild it, that has nothing to do with sakana. That's simply because it's a kosel chatzer. You don't have to go without a kosel around your chatzer. You're allowed to rebuild the kosel chatzer on Chol HaMoed. So, frankly, Gemara, hasam nami listra velo livni. But why don't we say over there, let you knock it down and not rebuild it? Because im kein mimna velo soser, then no one is going to knock it down. Meaning, no one is going to want to be without a wall around their chatzer. So, if you tell someone, oh, mipnei sakana, it's okay, just knock down the wall so that you can get rid of the sakana. Well, I don't want to be left without a wall around my chatzer, so they're never going to knock it down in the first place. Amar Ravashi masnisin nami deka. It's meduyik this way in our Mishnah as well. Like Rav Chista says that a gina you're not allowed to build, but on Chol HaMoed kedarko, but a kosel chatzer you are. So it's meduyik in the Mishnah that by a kosel gina you're not allowed to build kedarko. The ketani ubeshviyas bona kedarko, because it says during Shemitah year you're allowed to build kedarko. So dehecha, which type of wall are we talking about that during Shemitah you're allowed to build kedarko, but not on Chol HaMoed? Ilei medachatzer. If it's a kosel around your chatzer, do you really need to tell me that I'm allowed to build a kosel around my chatzer during Shemitah year? You're allowed to do home construction during Shemitah. The Yisra is Avodah Sakarka during Shemitah. So what's the chiddush that you're allowed to build a kosel chatzer during Shemitah year? Kosel chatzer is your yard. You're building a kosel around. Of course you're allowed to do that. Elav degina. It must be that the subject of our Mishnah is a kosel gina. And it says that, yes, during Shemitah year you're allowed to build kedarko. But on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to build kedarko. The alpha gav de mechzi command the oven itirus of the piri, even though it looks like you're guarding the fruits, but nevertheless you're allowed to build kedarko. Shema mina. So we see that our Mishnah must only be talking about a kosel gina. It's not talking about a kosel chatzer. Had it been a kosel chatzer, you would be allowed to do. It would not. The Mishnah would not need to tell me that you're allowed to be bona kedarko during Shemitah, and the halacha would be that on Chol HaMoed you would be allowed to be bona kedarko. So that's the analysis of Kosel Gina versus Kosel Chatzer. Now, what about Ganavim? Is Ganavim enough of a concern to knock down a wall and rebuild it properly, to rebuild it more strongly? Or is it only Mipnei HaSakana? The Mishnah, the Brice that we quoted said Mipnei HaSakana. So Rav Chissa had said that over there is Soser Bona because of Sakana. Over here, you're Bona Velo Soser. In Chol HaMoed, when we talk about a regular case of Chatzer, you're allowed to build, but you're not allowed to knock it down. So it sounds like the heter to be so ser a wall is only mishum chashash sakana and not mishum chashash ganavim. So that's what Magen Avraham writes in Tavkuf Mem, Sivkat and Gimel, that mibnei chashash ganavim, there's no heter to be so ser a wall. There's only a heter to be bona a wall. So apparently so ser is something we'd be more hesitant to allow. We only allow that in this case of mibnei sakana. Okay, moving along now, we're going to move on to the Mishnah relating to Tzara'as. But before we do the Mishnah relating to Tzara'as, it's important to remind ourselves of some of the basic halachos of Nega'im. So halacha number one, a person who sees on his skin a nega, a white stain on his skin, he has to show it to a kohen so the kohen can determine whether he's tar or tameh, and because tumas nega'im is determined purely by a kohen. So if the kohen sees that the white, that that this person has on his skin is one of the maros that the Torah identifies as a problematic mara, and it has one of the simani tumas negayim, so then he's metame the person right away, and that person is called a mitzora muchlat, an absolute mitzora. The kohen could declare immediately upon looking at this nega, this guy definitely has tzaras. If it's not one of the maros negayim that's described in the Torah, the white discoloration is not one of the colors that the Torah would describe as being problematic, so then the kohen is mitarim right away, and he says absolutely it's no problem. So those are the two clearest outcomes the first time the kohen looks at the nega. However, what if the mara lavan is like one of the maros that are described in the Torah, but it doesn't have the additional simin tumah inside of it? It doesn't have the hairs turning colors the exact way the Torah describes it. So then the Kohen is maskir the mitzorah. He sends him to be closed off alone in solitary confinement in his own house in a house for 7 days, and that's what's called a mitzorah muskar. So there's no clear psak on him yet. He's not definitely tamei, nor is he definitely tar. He's a mitzorah muskar. After a week of hesker, the Kohen looks at him again, he re-examines him, and he sees that if the mara became weaker and there was no simen tuma that came up, so he's metayer him. If one of the simane tuma appeared in the mara, or the mara itself got bigger, then he's metame him and he becomes a mitzora muchlat. But what if nothing happened? It stayed exactly the same. So then he closes him off. He becomes a mitzora muskar for a second week. After that second week, the kohen looks at the nega again. If there's no simen tuma that came up in that mara, he's metayer him. And if it expanded or there is a simen tuma, he's metame him as a mitzora muchlat. Now, mitzora muchlat that a kohen sees that has become tahar, the kohen re-examines him after he's a mitzora. So good, so he's a mitzora, he has saras, but then he may notice that he's getting better. So if the kohen sees that he's getting better and he has become tahar from his saras, so there's a whole seder in the Torah of how to be mitzora himself, how to get from the status of tumah of saras in order to become tahar. So he goes into the machne and he counts 7 days, and on the 7th day he's megaleach all of his hair, and he's mechabes his begadav, he tovels his clothing and he tovels himself, and then on the 8th day he brings his karbanos that it says in the Torah, and that's how he finally becomes tahar. A mitzora muchlat is sent chutz l'shalosh machnos. A mitzora muchlat has to be sent outside of the walls of the city of Yerushalayim, but a mitzora muchlat, we're going to see, is mutter b'tashmish amita. He's allowed to be with his wife when he has tzaras. Now, during the 7 days that the mitzora muchlat is counting to become tahar after his tzaras is over, he's allowed to go back to the city, so he's in a certain level we're easier on him, and this is going to be important in the Gemara, that on a certain level after his tzaras is over, when he sees that he's getting better and he's going through the tahar process over the course of 7 days, on a certain level things become lighter because we allow him back into the city, we allow him back into the machne, but on the other hand he becomes asur b'tashmish shamita. During those 7 days he's not allowed to be with his wife. He has an issur of tashmish amita. So on that level, things are a little bit more strict on him. So now, given that background, let's see the Mishnah. Rameir Omer, Ro'unas HaNegayim B'tchila, Lahak Elav Lo Lahachmir. There's a question whether we're Goris B'tchila over there, but Rameir says that we can, a Kohen is allowed to examine Negayim Lahak Elav Lo Lahachmir, but he's only allowed to give good news to the potential Mitzora on Chol HaMoed. He's not allowed to be Machmir and tell him that he's actually a Mitzora. V'cham Omerim Lo Lahak of Lolachmir. The Chum say, no, he can't look at all. If you're not going to be able to give both diagnoses, so then you can't look at all. This idea that Rameir has, that the Kohen could decide not to paskin on a negat saras that's shown to him, if he thinks that it's going to be problematic, that he could just decide not to paskin, Tosfos Rosh points out this is dafka a heter for yomtiv, that Rameir allows the Kohen to be shosek when he sees the tumma, but on all the rest of the year, he's absolutely not allowed to remain silent if he sees tumma. It's only simchas haregel that allows the Kohen to be shosek. So, but other than that, if he sees a nega, he absolutely has a chiyuv to give a psak. Chaznish points out the whole machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yossi, there's no machlokes if you see the Nagayim Lahakel, whether you're allowed to see the Nagayim Lahakel, other than Chalamoid. But on Yom Tov and Shabbos, even Rabbi Meir would say you're not allowed to look at Nagayim. That's what Chaznish points out. Why not? Because Chaznish writes that Yom Tov and Shabbos, you're not allowed to, there's an Isser of being done as Hadins. It's also Ladin B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov. So this is considered to be a violation of that issue. So the whole issue is only a chalamoid issue where it's mutter to have din on chalamoid, and it's purely an issue of simchas yom tov. So good. And the chum say that lo lahakel lo lahachmir, not allowed to look at negayim at all, not lahakel and not lahachmir. So the Ritva explains the probably what we would have assumed as the pashtus, that the reason you're not allowed to look lahakel is because if he sees a nega that's tame, you're not allowed to be quiet. That once it's brought to the Kohen has to paskin. So he can't look at a nega and then say, now I'm not going to paskin on the nega. The chum hold that if a nega is being shown to the Kohen, he's going to have to call it like he sees it, but he can't be quiet. The Ran says differently. The Ran says no, that the reason that the chum say Ein Ro'en Lo Lachav Lo Lachmir is because if the Kohen sees that it's Tame and he's Shoseik, so everyone's going to realize why he's being Shoseik. Everyone's going to realize why he's not saying anything. The Metzora is going to realize, oh, he's being Shoseik because obviously I'm Tame. So right after Yantav, he's going to declare me as a Metzora. So that's going to right away Shtar Simchas Yantav. Meaning, forget about the fact that maybe right now he's not going to have to behave differently, but certainly the concern over the fact that he's actually a Metzora, that's going to ruin his Simchas Yom Tov. That's how the Ran explains the Shita of the Chachamim, that it's lo lahakel lo lahachmir. So says Gemara, Tanya, Reb Meir Omer, Rowan es hanagoyim lahakel aval lo lahachmir. So the Brisa starts with Shita of Reb Meir, which is like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that with Reb Meir in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to look at a nega lahakel, but not lahachmir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, who's apparently the Shita of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi says lo lahakel v'lo lahachmir. You're not allowed to look at a nega lahakel or lahachmir. Why? Shemata niskaklo, niskaklo af lahachmir. Lahakel, niskaklo af lahachmir. That if you're going to pass on lahakel, you're going to have to pass on lahachmir as well. Which is exactly what we said, what we just said a moment ago, is the sheet of the Ritva in explaining the Chachamim of our Mishnah. The Ritva writes, the Chachamim are Rabbi Yossi. The Ran says, no, the Chachamim of our Mishnah aren't necessarily Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has one reason why you have to paskin, because if you're going to paskin, you have to paskin. Maybe the Chachamim of our Mishnah hold that no, it's not out of a requirement to paskin. You could be quiet, but it's not going to help to be quiet, because it's still going to upset the guy to be quiet. That's the Ran's approach. But the way the Ritva understands it is that Rabbi Yossi is the Chachamim of our Mishnah. But that's the fundamental machlokas, whether you're allowed to look at a nega on Chalamoid or not. So what's the context? There are so many different stages. Are we talking about a guy who's Tahar, who's asking you to paskin on his nega? Are we talking about after he's had Hesker Rishon, after he's had Hesker Sheni, if he's a Mukhlat and he wants to know whether he could begin his 7 days? What are we talking about? When are you not allowed to look at a nega? When are you allowed to look at it? When is this machlokas? So Amar Rebbe Nirin Divrei Rebbe Meir says that Rebbe says that it seems that Meir is correct that you're allowed to look at a nega on Chalamoid bimuskar. When you're dealing with a Mitzora Muskar, whose 7 days of being Muskar finish on Chol HaMoed, and the Kohen has to paskin if he's Tahar, or if he now becomes a Mukhlat. So Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yossi, that when the Kohen sees the Nega, he has to paskin the Din, and he's not allowed to be quiet. But according to Rebbe, a Muskar Bekolofen is never going to be upset. Whatever you tell him, it's not going to upset him anyway. Because if you're Metarim, so then great, that's a great Simcha for him. You tell him that he's Tahar. And even if you're Metame him, and you tell him that he's a Mukhlat, and he's going to have to go outside of the Machne and be Porish Mibnei Adam, he's not going to be upset about that, because he's going to benefit from that as well. Because as a Mukhlat, he's Mutar Beishto. He's allowed to be with his wife. Whereas, and he prefers to be with his wife. So therefore, you're allowed to look at his nega on Moed. But, v'divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe says, I think Rabbi Yossi is correct that you should not look at a nega B'muchlat, if it's a mitzora muchlat, who comes to the Kohen to see if he has gotten any better. Because by mitzora muchlat, there's a machlok, the Ramei and Rabbi Yossi would argue if you look at the nega, but not because of chash that he might be paskin l'tuma, because he's not going to lose anything if he's paskin l'tuma. He already was tameh, he already is a mitzora muchlat. But we have to be choshish that he's going to be mitzta'er if you're mitzaher him. Because up until this point, while he was a mitzora muchlat, he was mutter b'ishto. Now you're going to tell him that he's tar, that he can begin his 7-day tar process. You're now telling him that he's asr b'ishto for the next 7 days. So Rabbi Yossi is worried about that, and Yasser is looking at the nega on moed. And even if you're metirim, he's going to, even though when you're metirim, he's going to benefit in some way, because he'll be able to come back into the city, he'll be able to come back into the machne, but it could be that a person would prefer to be with his wife than to be with everyone else. Some people just like to hang out with their wives and don't care about anybody else, aren't interested in friends or any other chevra. They just want to be with their wives. But according to our mayor, the Kohen is allowed to see the Nega and to paskin his din, but whether it be Latar, whether it be Latuma, because according to our mayor, a person would prefer to be with his chevra than to be able to have Tashra Shemitah with his wife. And even if you're going to be Matar him and Asr him be Ishto, so he's not going to be upset about that, because at least he'll be allowed into the Machna. Amar Rava b'tahar, when you're dealing with a tahar who's coming for the first time to get a psak on this discoloration of his skin, kuliyam lo pligid lo chazilei. Everyone would agree, both Ramei and Rabbi Yossi would agree, that it's usher for the Kohen to see such a nega, because right now he's tahar, and seeing this nega is not going to help him at all. It's only going to hurt him. Behezke rishon, if you're looking at him after the first period of Hesker, so then the Kuliyam lo pligi d'chazilei. Everyone would hold that you are allowed to look at the Nega. Both Rameir and Rabbi Yossi would agree that the Kohen is allowed to be brought the Nega, because if it turns out that he's tar, so then certainly that's going to be a simcha for him. And even if the Nega didn't get any better and you're going to have to close him off for another week, so he's not going to be mitzar, because nothing changed. He was already muskar. So what could be so bad? So that's how Rashi explains. But there's a third possibility. Third possibility is that you'll declare him a mitzvah muchlat, and then he's got problems. So why does that help? So Tosos, it's a bomb kasha on Rashi. So the Meiri suggests, yeah, that was very not mitzvah. It was very uncommon that after the first week that it would grow, that the nega would grow, and he'd actually become a mitzvah muchlat. So since that's so uncommon, that's why we're not worried about that eventuality. I don't know who said that's uncommon. I don't know how the Meiri knows that's uncommon. Is any of this common? I don't know what the whole dinim of tzaras. It's all spiritual. It's all up to Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha. I don't know. How do we know what's common and what's not common? Very difficult to understand what the Meiri means by that. In Mishnah LeMelech, he suggests a couple of answers, one of which I didn't understand, but the other answer that he suggests, the one that I sort of understood, is that he said, well, there are three possibilities. There are three possible outcomes. Two of them don't hurt the guy at all. One of the possible outcomes might hurt him. When it's a 50-50, so we're going to say, you know what, let the Kohen stay out of it. Let him not paskin on it. But when it's not a 50-50, two out of the three possible outcomes are going to be not negative outcomes. Well, Kohen generally has a mitzvah to deal with the nega tzaras. So let him do his mitzvah. It takes a lot for us to say that the Kohen shouldn't look at a nega tzaras, to delay doing a mitzvah, to refrain from doing a mitzvah. Why should he refrain from doing a mitzvah? So if there's a chance it's going to ruin someone's simchas yantav, a 50-50 chance it's going to ruin someone's simchas yantav, okay, we're willing to tell the Kohen to take the day off. But if the most of the possibilities would lead you in a direction that doesn't ruin simchas yantav, then we're not going to tell the Kohen to take the day off. So keep pligi, where is there a machlokas from our Meir Rabbi Yossi? Behesker sheni. The machlokas is after the second hesker, after the second time that the second week that the mitzvah is closed off. So Marsav Rameiru holds, Rameiru says that you look at it, Latar Velo Latame holds Bekoin Tal Yumilsa. Everything is dependent on the Kohen, and if he sees that it's Tame, he could be quiet if he wants. He doesn't have to be Mitamiyat. So Yitar Amr Latar Vitame Shasik. So if he's Tar, let him say Tar, and if he's Tame, the Kohen will be quiet. Umarsav Rab Yossi, who says you're not allowed to look at the Nega at all, holds Latara O Latame. The pasuk says letaharo letamo, that he has no choice other than letaharo o letamo. Shosek is not one of his options. That's all he's allowed to do, either be metar or be metame. So Gemara now analyzes Shitas Rebbe. Amar Mar. Amar Rebbe, Nirin Div Rebbe Yossi, B'muchlet V'Div Rebbe Meir B'muskar. So we said that Rebbe passing like Rebbe Yossi by Mitzor Muchlet and like Rebbe Meir by Mitzor Muskar. V'atani Ibcha, but we have another Bryce that says exactly the opposite within Rebbe, that Rebbe holds Nirin Div Rebbe Meir B'muchlet and Rebbe Yossi B'muskar. So it says, Mar Tanayi, he alibi the Rebbe. It's Machlokas Tanayim, what Rebbe holds. Mar Savar, the Tana that says that that he holds like Rebbe Meir B'muchlet and Rebbe Yossi B'muskar, holds that according to Rebbe Tzavsa the Alma Adiflay, a person prefers the company of his friends to the heter of Tashma Shamita with his wife. And therefore, Rabbi Meir is more correct by Muchlat that you would look at his Nega, because if the Kohen is Metameim, he's not going to lose anything because he already was Tameim until this point. And even if the Kohen is Metairim and asks him on his wife, he's not going to be upset because now the 7 days begin where, yes, he may be Asr to his wife, but at least he'll be able to have Chevra, he'll be able to be with other people, he'll be able to go back into the Machane. And Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Muskar, that you don't look at the Nega on Moed, because if the Kohen is Metameim and he has to go Chutz L'Machane, he'll have to go Chutz L'Machane, and even though right now he's even though that will allow him to be Mutar L'Ishto, he'll be upset about that because he prefers he prefers to be with Bnei Adam than to be with his wife. But Umar Safar, the Tana that holds near and Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Muchlet and Rabbi Meir b'Muskar, Safsa D'Ishto Adifalei, he assumes that a person would prefer to be with his wife than to be with Chevra. So it turns out from Rabbi that a Mitzor Muchlet is Mutar B'Ishto. So the Gemara says, wait, meaning that the whole discussion assumed that while he's a mitzora muchlad, while he is a definite mitzora, he's mutar b'ishto. So, frankly, Gemara, the meimer of the muchlad mutar b'tash from shamita, is that so? That a mitzora muchlad is allowed to have tash from shamita? Says Gemara, in. V'atanya, we have a brayso that says that way, v'yashu mechutz ha'al lo shuvas yamim, she'i asr b'tash from shamita, that for the 7 days that he's a mitzora, he's asr b'tash from shamita, and it implies v'ein alo el ishto, because we know that ol means his wife. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu after Matan Torah, Lechem Orlem Shvu Lechem La Lechem, go tell Bnei Yisrael that now they're allowed to go back to their Ohel, which means they're now mutter to their wives. So you see that going back to the Ohel means a heter Tashma Shamita. So by Mitzora, where he's a Chutz La'alo, means that he has an Isser of Tashma Shamita. When is that Isser of Tashma Shamita? That's only during the 7 days that he's being sofer for his Tahara. But by the Yemei Chaluto, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivas Yamim Yisperulo Yemei Safiro Velo Yemei Chaluto, that it's only during those 7 days that he's counting that he's Asr B'Tash from Shamita, but during Yemei Chaluto it's totally mutter. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivas Yemei Safiro Kal V'Chomer Yemei Chaluto, that if during the 7 days that he's counting toward Tahara he's not allowed to be with his wife, then Kal V'Chomer when he's Vaday Tamei he's not allowed to be with his wife. Vam Rabbi Chia Danti Lefnei Rabbi. Rabbi Chia says, I discussed in front of Rabbi and I said the Matan Rabbeinu that Yosam the son of Uziyahu Melech Yehuda lohayilo luziyahu eli bimechiluto was only conceived during the day that Uziyahu had Saras and was a Mitzora Muchlat. So you see that Uziyahu was a Mitzora for 25 years before he died, and after he died, Yosam, who was 25 years old, took over. So you see that Uziyahu was conceived, Yosam was conceived during Uziyahu's period of Tzaras. So Amlo, Afanika Chamarti, says, yeah, that's 100% right, because the Mitzora Muchlat is allowed to have Tashma Shamita, and that's why it was able to happen that during the days of his Tzaras he was able to conceive a child. So b'maika mifli, what is this machlokas Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Galei Rachmana b'Yemei Sefiro v'Kolshkein b'Yemei Chiluto, that the Torah tells us about Yemei Sefiro that he's not allowed to have Tashma Shamita, and we're supposed to figure out Kal V'Chomer when it's b'Yemei Chiluto. Mar Savar Ma'i D'Galei Galei Ma'i D'Lo Galei Lo Galei, and the other one says no. The Rabbi Yehuda says wherever it tells you that you're not allowed to have Tashma Shamita, that's when you're not allowed to have Tashma Shamita. Otherwise, you can assume that you are allowed to have Tashma Shamita. Fractosos, what, Rebbe's not Dorish a Kal V'Chomer? Kal V'Chomer is a very basic drasha. You don't need a Mesora to dash in a Kal V'Chomer. Shouldn't he also learn such a Kal V'Chomer? So he said there must have been some sort of pircha on this Kal V'Chomer. There must have been some reason that Rebbe doesn't want to dash in this Kal V'Chomer. So says Gemara, Lememer Debekoin Tal Yemilsa, we just discussed in this sugya that the Tara and the Tum of Mitzora is totally on the Dibur of the Kohen, that as long as the Kohen doesn't say Tamei, so then it's not Tamei. Is that really true? Is it totally dependent on the coming. In Vatanya, absolutely it is. But we learn in the Braisa, Yom Hira Osbo, when the Kohen sees it, if he sees a Basar Chai that got better from the Nega, and the Tsaras is not covering Kol Gufo, so we darshan Yesh Yom Shatarobo, Vyesh Yom Shiatarobo. We darshan from the fact that it says, Ube Yom Hira Osbo, that there are some days that you should look at a Nega, and some days that the Kohen should not look at a Nega. Mikanam Ruchasan Shnolbo Nega, Nosin Lo Shivas Yimei Mishter. From here we see that a chasan who has a nega, we give him his 7 days of sheva brachos, lo lebeso luksuso, that in order that we shouldn't shtar simcha during shivas yimei mishta. This is one of the rayas the post can bring, that shivas yimei mishta may be daraisa. Now, because we know it says malei shavua zos by Yaakov Avinu, but there's a question whether that's only a remez, or that's an actual source, daraisa. But this Gemara seems to be a raya that it's daraisa. Otherwise, we wouldn't forego the requirement to paskin on a nega just so that a person could have a shivas yimei mishta. V'chein beregel, nosin lo shivas yimei regel, and on yantif, we give him the 7 days of yantif. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yomer eino tzarich, you don't need a pasuk, but Yomer eiro ospo to teach this halacha. Harei Yomer, the pasuk says by a nega that appears on a bayis, v'tziva ha-kohen ufinu as ha-bayis, that before the kohen paskins on the house, whether it has a nega tzara, we clear out the whole house, because as soon as he paskins a nega tzaras in the house, everything in the house becomes tamei, so clear everything out of there. Imam tinu lo dvar rishus, koshken dvar mitzvah. So if we're going to wait for a dvar rishus to clear out the house just so that things don't get tamei, so certainly for a dvar mitzvah, we're going to wait on the psak. My b'nai, what's the nafkamina between Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, where it learns from Ubayom, and Rebbe from learns it from Ufinu Asabayis? Rabbi Mashmos darshan ika b'nai. They're just arguing how to darshan, whether you should darshan from Ubayom or not. Rava Amar Dvar Rishus ika b'nai. Machlokas is also machlokas in halacha. Do we delay Re'iyas Hanega for a Dvar Rishus? According to Rabbi Yehuda, learns from Ubayom, we would not wait for anything other than a Dvar Mitzvah. But if you learn from Ufinu Asabayis, so you see from there that you would wait for any sort of Dvar Rishus, that it's Megal Milsel through a Binyanav, that you'd wait for all sorts of Divrei Rishus. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will explain the Shitos tomorrow, Vayitu in the Gemara with Rabbi Yehuda.